flow through Pastor Jeff as he brings your word, and flow through us as we move out in the community, Lord. In your name, amen.
Amen. You can be seated. I just love it. Ephesians chapter 5 tells us that when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, man, we sing, amen. We sing songs and we worship. And so it's good to do that together with you guys this morning. For the last 3 weeks, we've been in our Vision Focus series, focusing on who God has called us to be as a church. And I'm going to tell you what, church, as we walk through 2020 in this season, I'm getting tired of saying that, this season, right? Like, especially during this time, like, all that stuff's getting old. But as we walk through 2020 in this season, I don't think we can overemphasize how important this series is and our time together. Guys, with all the distractions, division, sickness, isolation, everything else that's going on, man, we've got to take the time to be encouraged and reminded as a church family to stay focused, to stay on target and devoted to Jesus and who He's called us to be. If you're not familiar, we have a vision statement, a mission statement here at Authentic Life Church that help us stay focused, and it's this: we exist to connect people to Jesus, to grow together, and live authentically for Him. And we're looking at that in depth every single week. But before we even got into the connecting part, connecting people to Jesus, we stopped and looked at who Jesus is, right? And that He calls us to follow Him, and what that looks like to live the life of a Jesus follower. And here's what we saw. Jesus isn't just a great teacher or a celebrity or a politician. Jesus is our Savior, right? He is the promised one. He's God in the flesh. He is Lord and He is King. I think that's a good word right now with what's going on in our culture. He's in charge. Amen, right? He is God with us. He is the one that wise men seek and worship, and He is the light and hope of the world. That's who Jesus is. And in Matthew chapter 4, that Jesus comes to these two sets of brothers, these four guys, and He's saying to us, that same Jesus says, follow Me. And to follow Him, we learn from their example, means that we're to live a life in abandonment for Him. Meaning to place Him above all comforts, all fears, all plans, all priorities, and to fully and completely trust and obey Jesus. The second week, we looked at connecting people to Jesus and sharing Jesus. And if you are saved, if you would say, hey, I'm here today, I'm saved, I'm a follower of Christ, I'm a Christian, here's what Jesus does. Jesus calls you and me, He commissions us to go and tell others about Jesus, right? Amen, church? I know we wrestle with that, but we are commanded to do that, to go and be with the people, to see them, to have compassion on those that don't know Christ. And then, church, we're called to pray for God to send people out, but also pray for those that don't know Christ, and then to go and tell others about Jesus. Because guess what? He is sending you and me. Last week, we began to look at the next part of our mission, which is growing together. And so we follow Jesus, we tell others about Jesus, and we grow to be more and more like Jesus. And we looked at Philippians chapter 3, and we saw the Apostle Paul intentionally pursuing Jesus and pursuing growing in his walk with Christ. And here's some things that we learned. We still have growing to do. Amen? Paul says, I have not attained it yet. I'm not perfect. So we know, there might be a couple of you in here that might be a little bit bigger than Paul, okay? Maybe not, but we still have growing to do. Until we are with Christ, we need to continue to pursue and grow in Christ. And we saw that we're also not to just casually and comfortably follow Jesus, but we are to chase after Jesus, to be more like Him with eagerness and passion. And last, we saw that to grow in the way that God wants us to grow, we're to learn from others, right? We're to have somebody in our life, have a Paul in our life that can pour into us and that we can learn from their example. And so all of that leads us to where we are this morning. The statement of our church says that as a church family, we exist to connect people to Jesus. And then the second part is to grow together, to grow together. Last week, we saw God's design and plan for us to grow and pursue Jesus, but this week we're going to see that He actually commands, right? We see in Scripture that we're commanded to do that together. God created us. Here's the thing. If you're alive today, God created you to know Him and love Him, right? But as Christians, He also made us to live out our relationship with God in fellowship with other people, with other believers, with the church. And what I would like for us to do this morning is a little bit different than what we normally do. If you're new here today, one thing that we normally do is walk through a whole book of the Bible. We just got done walking through Ephesians for most of the year, and we're walking through our vision series right now. But we're going to look at what the Bible tells us about togetherness, and then we're going to address a passage this morning out of Hebrews chapter 10 to teach us how we can apply that. What does that look like practically for us? And so, guys, let's pray this morning and then dive into God's Word together and look at what it says about growing and being together. Father, we got a lot going on in our world. We got a lot going on in our lives. We've got a lot going on in our mind. But God, we know that you're big enough to carry those. And so God, we give those to you. Help us do that. God, help us with our listening ears today. And give us a receptive heart where you would have complete authority this morning of what we hear and how we apply it. God, I pray, Lord, for whatever comes out of my mouth is glorifying to you. God, help us grow to be more and more like you. And I pray, Lord, today that we would even get a glimpse of what it looks like for us to be together. So we give you this morning, God, we come to you submissively and humbly. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen, amen. One thing that we've learned over the last 9 months is that we are not made to live in isolation, right? We are not made to do life alone. And this is one of the truths that we see throughout Scripture, but it's not just in Scripture. The world believes that, right? Sometimes the world doesn't believe what we believe, but most doctors, counselors, sociologists, other leaders will tell you that we are better together, right? We were made to be in community. And for us as Christ followers, we see this throughout the entire Bible. So we're going to walk through the entire, no, I'm just kidding. But so we're going to go back to Genesis chapter 1 and 2. And we're going to, what we see there is that we already talked about this a little bit, but we are created to be with God, right? We're created to know Him and to love Him and to walk with Him and to follow Him and to learn from Him. And so it starts with God where we learn that relationship. But then we see in chapter 2, God has created the world, right? And He says, hey, I want a person. I'm going to create a person. And He creates them and He breathes His life into their lungs. And then He says this. He says, then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. Most wives at that point say, amen, you would not want to see my husband if he was by himself. But He says this, it's not good for a man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. When God says it's not good, that word is saying that it is not best. It's not the highest value. And what He is saying is what is best. And what I'm going to create is that man would have a companion, a relationship. We were made, church, we were made to be in a relationship with God, and we were made to be in a relationship with others. Let's take that a little bit deeper. 50 times in Scripture, in 24 different ways, the Bible uses the phrase one another when speaking of God's people. And we see things like forgive one another, encourage one another, admonish one another. And the message is this, we were made to follow Jesus and do life with one another and not alone. 50 different times, 24 different ways, the Bible tells us that we're to do things like serve one another, love one another, bear one another's burdens, rejoice and weep with one another. So here's what we know to be true. Community, if you're a believer today, I need you to hear me. If you're a Christian today, community, Christian community is not optional. It's not. Not if you truly want to follow Jesus. And we've already agreed that He's Lord. We want to follow Him. Amen? Right? We want to point people to Him. And now if we believe Him in that, then we need to pursue Christian community. Because togetherness is His design. And so we're to pursue that and be obedient to that. We're going to have a little bit, kind of a gut punch today. Are you guys ready? Right? When we think about Christian community, when we think about doing life together as Christians in our culture, it is often looked at as an optional thing. I like to say togetherness in many of our lives has become an if thing. Here's what I mean by that. I'm sure I'm not talking about anybody here. I'm talking about everybody else, okay? But here's the idea. If we're comfortable, if we happen to be available, if we're not upset or mad at someone, if it fits our style, if the football game is not on, if it isn't too difficult, if it doesn't ask too much of me, then we'll consider pursuing gathering together. I know that doesn't happen here, right? Now, praise God, that's not always the case. Amen, right? Praise God that many that follow Jesus don't think of being together in the if kind of way. But I think if we're honest, that if mentality has probably crossed our mind or been lived out in our lives at some point. Relationships can be hard. It's easy to do life with those that are easy to do life with, but some are more difficult. And so we need to guard our heart against that, church. We need to guard our hearts against that. And this is not something that only our culture and our generation has struggled with. Not being together has been a struggle and really a tool of the enemy since sin entered the world. There's a reason why the Bible addresses togetherness and community being together so much. Are you with me, church? I mean, it's addressed so many times. We need to hear it in every kind of way possible so that we get it. But here's the thing. If you're a follower of Christ this morning, here's the thing. Because of who Jesus is, because we follow Him, because it's His design, because He is worthy of our surrender to Him in every area of our life, we must be devoted to being together as God's people. And as Jesus followers, we see this model. We're going to look at how we see it modeled with Jesus. We're going to see how we model in the church, in the New Testament. But with the life of Jesus, we see it modeled in His life, the importance of community. And that, so first He calls us to be with Him, but then He also models for us being with other people of God. So here's a couple examples. Jesus was with His disciples. He served with them. They ate together. They struggled together. They rejoiced together. They laughed together. They cried together. They did, CrossFit together. They did, you get what I'm saying? They did all of those things together. They cheered on the Kansas City Chiefs. Kidding, man. That's for you, bro. Just saying. Right? So they did all of this stuff together. Guys, they did God's work together. They did life together. Right? Jesus with His disciples. Let's look at it in a different way. Jesus modeled it in Luke chapter 4, verse 16. It says this, and He, Jesus, came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up. So He's kind of having a homecoming, right? He's going to go hang out with His people. And as was His custom, we're going to come back to that phrase, Jesus entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. As was His custom is speaking of His pattern. What is His pattern? It was part of the pattern in His life to gather with God's people on the Lord's day for worship. Jesus modeled it. But He also commands it. The Word of God commands it. And I don't know if we can, let's just go to the top command on that. When Jesus says in John chapter 13 that we are to love one another as He has loved us, He set the bar. So here's what we know to be true. You cannot love one another. We cannot love one another as Jesus loved us if we are not with one another. And all God's people said, amen, right? That's a little weak, but we're going to go with it, okay? So you cannot love God's people. They cannot love you if we are not with one another in intentional relationships and in godly Christian community. Can't happen. So we see it modeled by Jesus. And next, we see this togetherness and community lived out and exampled by the early church. One of the passages that I love is Acts chapter 2, verse 41 through 42, because of everything, not just what's there, but everything that was before it and everything that was after it. So here's what's happening. Jesus came, He lived His life, He intentionally went to the cross, He died for you and me, He shed His blood, His body was broken, He hung on the cross, He died, but guess what? On the third day, He rose again. Amen, church? Like, He rose again. We have a risen Savior. So He spends 40 days walking around doing Jesus stuff, and then he gathers His people and said, hey, go out, make disciples, right? I'm going to be with you always. Go be my witnesses. He flies up into the sky. They just stop looking at Him, right? They can't stop looking at Him. And then not long after that, the Holy Spirit comes, just as Jesus promised. Guess what? We can't follow Jesus without the Holy Spirit, right? We can't tell people, we can't preach, we can't do what He calls us to do. So the Holy Spirit comes down, and then Peter gets the Holy Spirit, and guess what he does? He gives this amazing message to people that had just seen Jesus and rejected Jesus. He says, hey, get your life together, repent, and follow Jesus, right? Call on Him to be saved. And so Jesus saves about 3,000 people. And then they follow up with baptism, and then they gather as the church. How did they gather? It says they were, who's they? The church, God's people, were continually devoting themselves. Now, I think in our culture, we do a good job of devoting ourselves to things for a period of time. But they were continually, it was a way of life. They were continually devoting themselves to some things. What were they devoted to? Look at these four pillars. Apostles' teaching, the Word of God, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. They were devoted as God's people, as the church, to the Word of God. What did they do? They heard it together. They learned it together. They grew in it. They pursued it. And then they were continually devoted to fellowship. Now, I know in the Baptist Creed somewhere it says that that means potluck. But the word actually means sharing and partnership. That's what that word means. They were brought into the family of God by Jesus, and they were devoted to pursuing and serving Jesus together as family. They were devoted to His mission together as family. Now, I'm sure this First Baptist Church found in Acts right here that they were having potlucks, but it was much more important than that. If y'all can't laugh at potluck jokes more than once, there's something wrong with your heart. I'm just saying, man. Man. Can't do potlucks right now. That's, you guys are just sad, right? We can't do potlucks. Here's what it was, church. It was being Jesus followers together. Learning and growing and living out the Christian life together. We can look through many places throughout Scripture to see how the New Testament church, to see the church model this for us. Their devotion to community and to one another and to growing and togetherness. And when they weren't modeling, then you had Paul and other people come in there and kind of straighten them up a little bit and said, hey, knock it off. Let's pursue this again. Amen, church. Maybe that's what it is for us this morning. Maybe we're devoted to it and we're just going to be encouraged in that. Or maybe we're not devoted to it and we need a little booty kicking. Amen. Amen, church. So when we look at the early church, here's what we don't see. We do not see people growing and serving and following Jesus alone. When you look in the New Testament, you do not see healthy followers of Christ that are not fully committed to the church. You don't. They knew they needed each other and that they were better together. And they trusted the heart of God. Listen to what David writes in Psalm 133, verse 1. Just, I don't have it up on the screen. Just listen to this. How good and pleasant it is. We could use some good and pleasant. Amen. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. And so with all that in mind, knowing it's God's design, knowing we need each other, knowing that we're to be committed so that we can grow as Jesus followers, I want us to look at one passage in Hebrews chapter 10. And I want us to see how we live this out. What does this growing together look like? I want us to see what this should look like according to this text. And so we're going to look at that passage together, Hebrews chapter 10. Verses 24 through 25. Normally, we stand together, read through the entire passage, but I'm going to do something a little bit different because we're already, you know, we still got, what, an hour to go? So we're just going to preach the whole thing. But here's the thing. I want us to look at it in context. I want us to know what's happening in context. I'm going to give us a little bit of background before diving into verses 24 and 25, just so we have a little context before we get into there. So in Hebrews, sometimes people give credit to that to Paul. I think that's an okay thing to do, but the reality is we don't really know who wrote Hebrews. So I'm going to say the author. Is that okay? If it's not, I'm doing it anyways, right? The author is addressing a few things here in this text. One of the big things he is addressing is false teaching, right? That is something that we see throughout Scripture, and the author is addressing that here. He's addressing false teaching. But here's one thing, a big thing that he's addressing, especially in chapter 10. He's addressing Christians who are struggling. Everybody raise your hand. Everybody raise your hand. Okay, anybody struggling right now? Okay, then we're good. Are you with me, church? Man, they're struggling. We know struggling, right? We're walking through that right now. They're discouraged. They're surrounded by false teaching. They're facing hardship and persecution. They're struggling, and they need encouragement, right? And they need encouragement as they pursue Jesus and grow in their walk with Him. And they're facing this temptation, like Satan's trying to kind of get in there, right? And they're trying to say, hey, you don't need to follow Jesus. You can stop pursuing Him. There's that temptation. Hey, go back and live how you once did. And so there's that temptation. They're tempted to follow that false teaching. And so the author is speaking some truth into their life. And he's encouraging them and reminding them of what they have in Jesus. And really what we read throughout Hebrews is a lot about the blood of Jesus, church. What we have because of the blood that Jesus shed when He died and sacrificed for us. He talks about the hope and He talks about us that we can draw near to God. And in verse 24 through 25, he reminds them of something specific. He's telling them, church, because of Jesus, I know it's tough, I know you need encouragement, but I gave you something for that. You now have a family. Right? In Christ, you have a family. And I think we need to rejoice in that more than we do. My wife and I, and some of you guys, work a lot in foster care. I'm going to tell you what, there are thousands of kids that don't have a family. They don't have an experience. Are you with me, guys? They haven't experienced that. We should celebrate the fact that we have a family. Not just biologically, but right here. When we walk through Ephesians together, one of the things that we saw was that when Jesus saves us, he brings us into his family. You've got brothers and sisters in Christ. That person next to you, if they know Christ, you're spending eternity with them. Right? If you're saved today, you are part of this family. And I'll just throw this out. If you're not giving your life to Christ, if you're not saved, right? If you're not called on Jesus to save you, God desires that for you. Right? We desire that for you, to be a part of the family. So let's read this passage. Why does God and why do we desire it? Because that's how God made us, right? To walk with God and to walk with one another. So let's read this passage together and see what the Bible says about how we are to live as family as we grow and pursue Jesus together. So that's the lens we're looking through this with. Are you with me, guys? So as we grow and pursue Jesus together, verse 24 says this, and let us watch out for one another to provoke love and good works. Not neglecting to gather together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching. As you and I follow Jesus, as we live out the Christian life and grow, the first thing we see from this text about growing together is this. Within our family, within our church, we are to watch out for one another. It's in your notes, first one on there. Watch out for one another. Some of your translations may say, consider one another. Verse 24 says, and let us watch out for one another, and then he tells us why. But to watch out for is a Greek phrase that means to consider attentively, to fix one's eyes or mind upon, or to watch out for. Here's what it means. It means to intentionally be with, observe, and understand. So we are to consider and watch out for one another. Let me give you an example. Here's the first example. If I take my kids to the park or the store or anywhere else for that matter, right? If I know that they're there and I look toward them occasionally as I do my own thing and I take my face out of my phone or whatever it is that I'm looking for, right? That's not what the Bible's talking about. But if I'm with my kids and I'm watching out for them, knowing what's going on, knowing where they are, what they're doing, what dangers might be around, that's watching out for them, right? There's an intentionality. In our world today, if we're honest, we would say, Pastor Jeff, this is hard. It's hard to watch out for one another. Why? Because we live in a mind-your-own-business kind of society. We live in a world that says, okay, you don't get to speak into my life unless you walked into my shoes. But guess what? I'm not going to let you walk in my shoes with me. That's the culture we live in. So it's this, right? Stay out of my business. And here's what this verse is saying. We need each other to be in our business. We need each other to be involved in our lives. Right? There is no way for us to watch out for one another. The Bible tells us to watch out for one another. We see that. There's no way for you to do that, to be attentive to one another's lives if we are not intentionally involved in each other's lives. We are to be intentional about doing life together. That's what this text is saying. That's what God is telling us this morning. The Bible is telling you and me something this morning, something that is going to be difficult for some or maybe all of us to hear. The Bible is saying this. If you're part of the family of God, if you're part of Authentic Life Church, then your life is my business. My life is your business. Your life is your business. Amen? We are to intentionally watch out for one another. And church, I just want to pause for a second. I want to say this. I don't want you guys to miss this. I don't care how old or young you are. Just give me your attention for like 15 seconds. Are you ready? I say 15, it's probably going to be more like 30. As we think about 2020, this might be something we need to hear more than at any other point in your entire lifetime. Please hear this. You and I, all of us together, we need each other. We need to be with each other. We need to see each other. We need to listen to each other. We need to share with each other. We need to serve each other. We need to watch out for one another. That doesn't happen just casually, does it? It takes intentionality. And let me just say this today. There are people, I'm just going to say it, there are people probably in this room that will say, well, I'm just a private person. Well, Jesus says, I have a problem with that. He does. Don't shy away from community. Your community might not necessarily, and how I engage with people, most people might run if everybody engaged like I did, right? But don't shy away from community. Don't hide when others are pursuing you to watch out for you. Our culture says mind your own business, but God's word is saying get in each other's business. That's a little hard to hear, isn't it? But we need to be committed to watching out for one another. And so as we pay attention, as we watch out for one another, we are specifically supposed to do what? Verse 24 says, watch out for one another. Why? To provoke love and good works. Provoke means, and your Bible may say some of these words, to incite, to push, or to stimulate. It means provoke someone to do something. And for us as Christians, what are we supposed to do? What are we pushing each other for? Love and good works. I'm going to sum that up really easy for us so that we don't have to, we're going to dive into a little bit. But as simple as possible, to do love and good works, it means to be more and more like Jesus. That's what that means. To do love and good works is to be more and more like Jesus. So we look at love. The word is agape. This is the Jesus kind of love. This is the sacrificial kind of love. This is the love whether they give it back or not, or especially if they don't deserve it. Amen, church, right? And so we are to love our neighbors in this way. We are to love one another in this way. We are to be stretched out in this love for one another. That's what we're provoking each other to. That's what we're pushing each other to. We are to love as Jesus loves. And then it says good works. What's good works? Doing what's right and good in the eyes of Republicans. Sorry, I meant Democrats. Americans. In the eyes of God, church. That's our lens. That's what we do everything. We do good works. What is right and good in the eyes of who, church? Of God. And so we watch out for one another. We're also to provoke and lovingly shove a little bit, right? Push one another to love like Jesus and do good works. I have people in my life that lovingly shove me in that direction. Do you have that? Church, this is important. The Bible is telling us that we have a responsibility, number two on your notes, to provoke one another to be more and more like Jesus, to love like Him, and to live the life that He calls us to live. Here's what this is saying. As we do life together, as we are involved in each other's lives, we are to, together, in community, as a church family, we're to help one another. Pursue Jesus and the life He calls us to live. That's it. It's called discipleship. Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples, right? Get them baptized and then teach them. Right? That's called discipleship. It's called spiritual growth. And Hebrews is saying we need each other to accomplish that. So I'm going to help you out this morning. I'm going to help me out this morning. If there's any idea that we have going on in our mind yesterday, today, or tomorrow, thinking that we can pursue Jesus and grow on our own, take out your 12-gauge and shoot that down, because that's what the Bible is doing. Am I allowed to say that here? I've said it twice now, so I think I'm okay, man. We need each other to pursue Jesus. Sometimes, I know this doesn't happen in anybody's life in here, so we'll say those other Christians. So sometimes we hear other Christians say, you know what, Pastor Jeff, I can be a Christian. I know you're worried about me. I know I haven't been at church in a little while. I know all that, but I can be a Christian. I can worship and I can pray without going to church or going to life group or being involved in the local body of Christ. And that's true. You can do that. But not in the way Jesus desires. You cannot grow, you cannot mature, you cannot pursue Jesus as He calls us to without each other. You can't. You cannot grow as Jesus intends without being a part of the local church, without being with one another. Amen? It got real quiet in there for a minute. Probably good because you guys can be noisy, but here's the thing, church. Without being devoted to fellowship and learning and growing together, right, we can't pursue Jesus without doing that. And here's the thing. It is your job, it's your job, it's your job, it's my job, it is our job together to make sure no one's left behind. To make sure we're pursuing Jesus and living a godly life. This could look like encouragement, teaching one another, seeing sin in each other's lives and lovingly, right? Speaking into their life and helping them turn from that. It's caring and serving. It's intentionally being together. So here's a question for you. I'm not asking your spouse. I'm not asking your kids. I'm not asking the person next to you. I'm not asking about the person that you're thinking about that is not doing a good job of being together. I'm talking to you. My question is, how are you doing with that? How are you doing, more specifically, in reaching out to others? How are you doing in caring for one another? How are you doing in regard to serving one another and serving with one another? How are you doing in allowing others to be a part of your life? How are you doing in pursuing others so that you can be a part of their life? Those are tough questions, aren't they? And just so you know, I'm asking myself the same questions. It can be hard. And for some right now, it's scary, right? For some currently. But I would argue that it has never been more important for this togetherness to happen in our lives than right now. Depression is on the rise. Isolation is on the rise. Suicide is on the rise. Abuse is on the rise. Do we see the problem? When we are not engaged and together, these things are on the rise. My wife and I spent time literally crying yesterday because we heard of another middle schooler take their life. We need each other. Not staying connected, even virtually, is on the rise. Not pursuing Jesus and one another is on the rise. It is suggested, due to surveys that have been asked to people, that somewhere around 30% of evangelicals do not plan on going back to church. Let that sit with you for a minute. How are you doing with that? The Bible teaches us, Jesus teaches us, He exampled for us to be united, to be together, to be stretched out in love for one another. How are you doing with that? Are you intentional? So when we talk about pursuing Jesus together and growing together, we do that practically by watching out for one another, by being in each other's business, by provoking one another, pushing, shoving, no kicking, but you know, helping them move on a little bit to be more like Jesus and letting people do that to you. And then the last thing we see in this text is this: to pursue Jesus and to grow in our walk with Him, church, we must be committed to gather together regularly. I did it better this time, didn't I? This was all over the place the last time. We are to be committed to gather together regularly. Here's what the Bible says: not neglecting to gather together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching. He says this: as we pursue Jesus, we cannot neglect gathering together. You know what the word neglect means? It probably means a little bit more than what we think it does. It means to abandon. When we gather together, there should be encouragement happening, right? There should be unity happening. There should be worshiping and singing and learning and growing and speaking into each other's lives happening. There should be strengthening and crying and rejoicing and fist bumping, hugging. Can't do that right now, right? But all of that should be happening. Coming alongside one another should be happening while we gather. And the Bible says that we should not neglect that. He's actually saying you should not abandon that, but that we should intentionally pursue that. The Bible is saying that people are in the habit of doing that. Now, I'm going to say this: for the moments that we need it, praise God for the technology we have to stay connected during 2020, right? When we need to use that. But we must not neglect gathering together regularly. People have asked me, Pastor Jeff, what exactly does that mean? Because a lot of preachers will use it. Why aren't you here on Sunday? Don't you know you're not to neglect? And we could go down that route if we want. But here's what we do know. We don't have that perfect model, the specific formula right here in Hebrews, but we have a biblical model of what this looks like. We do know that the early church gathered together weekly. They did that. We know that to be true. We should model our lives around that. We also see in many places that they gathered daily. Now, does that mean that we need to gather as a church body daily? I don't think so. But that wouldn't be a horrible thing, would it? For some of you, all right? I believe the intent is this: they were devoted and they were intentional about following and trusting Jesus, so they were being together as God's people. They trusted Jesus and His design. Let me just throw this out there. You don't like people, but you love Jesus, so you got to like people. Amen? You got to be with them. Just trust Jesus in that. That's who we were made to be at Authentic Life Church. This is what we were called to be committed to, togetherness, as we pursue Jesus. And so we have Sunday mornings, right? We've got this. We worship. We are united in mind and purpose and mission and hope. We're devoted to the teaching of God's Word, to singing, to our Savior. We come together to talk and connect and check in. We have things that we should be intentional about, like smaller groups, right? We see that modeled in Scripture. We don't just come up and say, man, life groups is a really trendy thing, so let's jump on it. That's not why we do it. We do it because it was modeled by Jesus. Meeting together during the week, we have those right now. You know what? We should probably have twice as many as we do. So here's a pastoral thing for you. Join a life group, if at all possible. You don't like my life group? Jason's is better. Amen? I was hoping for some silence there, but what do we do at life group? We're devoted to growing in Christ and relationship with one another. And here's the other thing. We have friendships. Right? We have friendships developing and growing in our lives. Now, let me say this. That should be happening here. And if it's not, it's our fault. If friendship in this church has not happened for you yet, I'm going to give you a biblical thing to do. Don't get frustrated. Get on your knees. Pray and ask God about that. Intentionally press in. You know, I sent, you know, Charles a friend request a long time ago. I saw that he saw it. He hasn't received it yet. So I'm going to press in on him a little bit. I'm going to pray about that and be intentional about. Just kidding, man. Don't get frustrated. Get on your knees. Church family, we have the honor of watching out for one another, provoking others to pursue Jesus, and we get to gather together regularly to be transparent and accountable, not with those that hate us, but with those that love us. And church, as we see the day approaching, it will get more and more important that this happens. Until Jesus returns or takes you home, we need to be committed to being together. Let's pray. Father God, we love you. And we thank you, God, that you loved us and you brought us into a relationship with you because of Jesus. But God, you gave us family. I could not do life without my brothers and sisters in Christ. And so for that, God, we collectively say thank you for family, for the church. I love Authentic Life Church. I love your people. I love that I get to be a part of it. God, I pray, Lord, that you be in charge of what is going on in our minds and our hearts right now, individually and collectively. Give us a unity of spirit. Give us a unity in you, God. Help us know that you have designed this family, this body, right here at Authentic Life, because we need it. And to be who you've called us to be, we need each other. So help us watch out for one another. Help us provoke one another to be more and more like Jesus. And help us be dedicated to gathering on a regular basis together. God, we miss those that aren't here right now. My heart aches. God, I feel like I just need to pray this publicly. My heart aches for those that are not connected to our church right now. And I know yours does too. God, use us as a church body to reach out to those we've not seen. God, we're so grateful for those that are worshiping with us online right now. Thank you for the ability to do that. And God, we pray for them that they would be dedicated to that in this season while they cannot be gathering. Help them be committed to gathering in any way possible so that they can be who you've called them to be. Be with us, God, as we're here. Help us be patient and loving and gracious as we continue to pursue you. God, I pray, Lord, in this moment that your people would hear from you what they need to hear from you right now. And God, we pray, Lord, for those today that would say, I don't know Jesus. I'm not a part of the family. We pray, Lord, today, God, that you would be drawing them near to you. God, we pray, Lord, that they would hear today that you love them and you came for them. While they were yet sinners, Jesus died for them. And Jesus is calling them to follow him. And we pray, Lord, today that they would respond. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 that all who call on the name of the Lord would be saved. We pray, Lord, for that today, for someone online, for someone here, for someone that's going to watch this later. We give that to you in Jesus' name. Church, I just want you to take this time with God. What is He teaching you? What do you need to continue to pray about in the area of togetherness? And if you don't know Jesus, I need you to hear me this morning. He loves you more than you've ever been loved. He knows the hurt. He feels that. And He came because He wants to rescue you and spend forever with you, regardless of what you've done or who you are. And if there's someone here today that says, you know what, that's what I want. I want to be saved. I want to be rescued. I want to spend eternity with Jesus. I want to have this brothers and sisters in Christ. I want to be saved today. If that's you today, I would just ask you to lift up your hand. Don't be shy about it. I'm not going to call you up to sing a solo or anything. I just want you to let me know clearly, today I want to follow Jesus. I want to be part of the family of God. I want to be rescued from my sins and spend eternity with Jesus. If that's you today, would you raise your hand and look me in the eyes? Maybe you're online today. My email is jeff@authenticlifeaz.com. Email me now and let me know that. We'll contact you today. If you don't know Jesus, what are you waiting for? He's the Savior, the love, the hope that you need. Churches, you're still praying. We're going to take the Lord's Supper together here in our last few minutes together. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians, Paul is teaching the church. He tells them that we're to take this together as God's people. If you're a Christian today, we invite you to take the Lord's Supper with us. But the Bible also says that we're to take it in a worthy manner and that we should examine ourselves. We should examine our hearts. We should examine what's going on in our lives. God, what is in me that doesn't line up with you? Where am I not pursuing you? What sin has a hold of me that you already died for? What do I need to repent of? Maybe there is a relationship issue within your family or within the church family that you need to have resolved. And maybe you need to do that right now. Maybe you need to do it right after church. But we need to examine ourselves and take the Lord's Supper in a manner worthy. When we take the Lord's Supper, Jesus says, take this in remembrance of me. Take the bread, which represents my body. The body that was broken where yours should have been broken. It's abused where you should have been abused. My blood was shed for you. I hung on the cross and died for you. And He tells us to take this bread and this juice in remembrance of what I did for you. And that, church, should change how we live. This time of remembrance should change how we live. He also says, do this until He returns. So we get to look forward to Jesus coming back. We're not going to be in this mess forever. Amen. But we do this together. So have your moment with God. Give Him praise and thanksgiving for what He has done. And then come up and grab your juice. Open it up at your seats. And then we will take it together. So when you're ready, come up and grab your juice. Take it back to your chair. Open it up. And we will take it together. If you're a follower of Jesus, if you're saved, this is for you. Remember what Jesus did for you. Give thanks for what Jesus did for you. Give glory to God for what He did for you. Luke chapter 22, Jesus was hours from about to die. and said the hour had come. Jesus had been born. He had lived a perfect life. He pursued the cross. He was about to suffer and die and rise again when the hour had come. He reclined at the table and the apostles with him. And then a few verses down, it says that he had given thanks for their meal. Verse 19, and when he had taken some bread, which we are representing with our wafer here, when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup after eating that. And so we're going to give God thanks. We're going to thank Jesus, and then we're going to take this together. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his body, for his blood, for his love for us. And God, so when we take this bread, this wafer, when we take this juice, we take it remembering your sacrifice and your love for us. And God, we ask you to help us continue to grow, to be more and more like you, and invite others into the family. Thank you. In Jesus' name. And so, after they had given thanks, Jesus says, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's take that together. And with the juice, his blood that was shed for us, take it in remembrance of him. What a good time to be together, church. Derek's going to lead us in song. We know that after they took the Lord's Supper, band, go ahead and come on up. After they had taken the Lord's Supper, this first Lord's Supper, they sang together. So we're going to sing as we go out today. Amen, church? Good? All right, Derek, why don't you lead us, my friend?
We're going to do a song called Bitter Kingdom here. It's a bluegrass song.